morning, everybody. This is Babs Rolls Ivy. Welcome to Love Babs Love Talk. Happy World's AIDS Day. That's Harry Joseph over there sitting in. We doing our thing.
Yeah, so happy World AIDS Day, you said?
Yes. You know, the fight for AIDS is still going on.
But now they got a pill that makes it undetectable, right?
Well, you have to already be, your levels have to already be low. So I'm having someone on, my sorority sister, Dolores Greenlee, on tomorrow to talk about what World AIDS Day means to her. She is on the mayor's task force for AIDS. But this year's theme, Harry, for World AIDS Day is inequalities, end AIDS, end pandemics. So it's highlighting the urgent need to end the inequities that drove AIDS and other pandemics around the world. So a bunch of the leaders around the world made statements about World AIDS Day. And so the world is off track from delivering on the shared commitment to end AIDS by 2030. Not because of lack of knowledge or tools to beat AIDS, but because the structural inequalities that have struck proven solutions to HIV prevention and treatment. So, I mean, there's a lot of economic, social, cultural, and legal inequalities that need to end as a matter of urgency if we are to end AIDS by 2030. So although, Harry, there's this perception that AIDS has doesn't have a sense of urgency anymore. You know, people are not talking about it the way we talked about it, you know, at the height of it. But it's still a problem. It is still a problem, and people are still dying from it. It's still spreading, and it is not gone. So that's where we are.
So and it's a problem that I don't even understand, right? So like I said, they have this commercial about the pill, it's undetectable, you can't pass it on through sex.
Yeah, but if only a few people can access that and the world can't access that, that's a problem.
Well, the thing is that for me, it's a problem to trust the pill.
Yeah, but if the pill is not going out and it's expensive, everybody doesn't have access to the pill. So that's the problem.
Well, imagine if we would have had a COVID response to AIDS.
Well, right? We kind of do. Because people are not getting vaccinated. And the countries that could use the vaccine are not getting the vaccine. So it's the same. I mean, we don't have to look far to see what the problems are. The problems are right there. The problems are same as they were in the 80s for AIDS, in the 90s AIDS, in the 2000 AIDS. It's the same problem. It's the inequality and the access.
Access being the key right there.
Yeah. So everybody is, you know. So anyway, there is a meeting going on today, I believe at City Hall. The Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated are leading the conversation for the next 4 hours around what we can do in community, where we are and what we can do in community. So please, if you know, there was this whole campaign, Harry, know your number, know your status. Remember that campaign? Everybody should know their HIV status, because remember, people didn't want to get tested. Oh, I don't have AIDS. I'm not going to get tested. Oh, I don't need to know that. Or if I know it, so what? I'm going to die. You know, people were saying that. I mean, we look back now, we say it now, Harry, and it sounds insane that people would say, I don't want to know my status. Oh, I don't care. Or, I mean, it just seems insane to us, but,
Yeah, it is. It's weird, because I remember going to your annual physical and your doctor recommending.
Know your HIV status.
Yeah, right. And I would always go, I would always go, well, yeah, I shouldn't, you know, even be it, thinking about this, but yeah, okay. But, and then, and I would take, you know, the blood tests and everything, and I would worry all the way until I got the results, even though
you knew you were negative.
I was pretty safe, but you never know, because back then you were getting it from blood transfusions, from I don't know if these were real things, but there was rumors going around that some people got it at a dentist because they didn't clean their tools and stuff like that. So all of that did worry me when I was get the test. Yeah. I'll be like, you know, what have I got?
But when you think about all the things that were said, I mean, it very much mirrors where we are now. People with the crazy conspiracy theories. And remember they were saying AIDS was from monkeys in a lab. And
Yeah.
those were some tough days, Harry. I volunteered for AIDS Project New Haven in the Caring Cuisine, delivering meals to people with HIV and AIDS who couldn't get out, you know, because people got really sick in those days. And they, you know, now people are living with AIDS just as if they're living with, you know, a cold, right? It's just, it has become a part of our everyday practical lives. But in the early days, people were living afraid that the landlords would find out, if their job found out, because they were calling it the gay flu. And people, you know, people were shunning people. Churches were shutting doors to people. You know, people weren't welcome.
I mean, I remember I was working in Beth Israel in the housekeeping department, right? And a lot of the workers there didn't want to have to take that that assignment, you know, to go to the AIDS floor and the HIV floor. And all I needed to know was the facts, right? So it was like, can I get it anyway? No, only if you get stuck with a needle, you have to make sure. No problem. I take those precautions anyway. So I would always volunteer. I would do it for overtime. I'm like, I felt safe. The doctor told me I was safe. So yeah, give me the work. I needed the work. I needed to pay my rent. You know, but other people were scared. I mean, I understand. A lot of people, it was, you know, ripping through their families and stuff. So,
yeah, I mean, it was a very difficult time. I remember, you know, because I was a volunteer. I had just left New York and I was working in entertainment public relations, and it had burnt me out, and I was jaded, and I really, you know, babysitting celebrities is just not what I wanted to be doing, not what I thought it was going to be. And I got to really dislike things. And so volunteering just gave me back a sense of community. And I remember I heard Jim Rawlings speak. At that time, he was the head of the Greater New Haven NAACP. And I went somewhere and he spoke about, you know, this epidemic is in our communities. At some point, you're going to look back and say, what did I do to help? And that just resonated with me. That just resonated with me. So I knew the Caring Cuisine was looking for drivers, you know, people to deliver meals, Harry. It wasn't a heavy lift. What they had to do was, you know, like Meals on Wheels. You pick up the meals, you drop them off to the folks. And sometimes I'd be the only person these people see all day because they were afraid to come. You know, some of them, they couldn't even come out. And they were so sick, and this would be the only meal, right? So
I did that too in New York.
So we my then husband and I, we just started doing it. And then they asked me to work for them. So I worked for them coordinating volunteers. And then I started running their volunteers department. And so I became the director of volunteers because they had a bunch of volunteers and they had nobody to like organize them so that they could be utilized well, you know? So I started driving for Care and Cuisine and then organizing the Care and Cuisine volunteers and then organizing the volunteers for the organization as a whole. And I really enjoyed that, Harry. There's so many committed people. There were so many committed people in those days who just wanted to help. You know, we ran support groups. We ran peer outreach. We gave out condoms. We set up appointments for people to go get themselves tested. You know, I remember Lawrence and I went and got tested before we got married. And, you know, when I got married, Harry, an HIV test was required. It's no longer required. But when I got married in 95, no, it was required.
Well, you know, back then, a blood test was required.
Yes, it's no longer required.
Get married. It's no longer required to do that.
And I'm thinking, oh, that's a... I mean, it infringes on rights, I guess. But I just like, if you could catch something, wouldn't you want to catch it? Like, wouldn't you want to know?
Or what if your father was having an affair and you're marrying your brother or something? That blood test was necessary.
I mean, it helped with a lot of things, particularly if you had sickle cell and you were marrying somebody. If you had the trait and you were marrying somebody with the trait, you need to know that because if you start having children, that there's a good chance that child would have sickle cell. So it was all these things like my sister and my youngest brother carry the trait, but they didn't marry people with the trait. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of lessons for us to learn from that time, and I don't want to take away from today to talk about how it mirrors, you know, this pandemic. I don't want to do that because I think we need to focus deliberately on World AIDS Day and ending, you know. I have a good friend who's been living with HIV and AIDS for 30 years. He got diagnosed. And, you know, when you first get diagnosed in the 80s, Harry, you know, it really was a death sentence.
I got a friend, too, because I consider Magic Johnson a friend. You know, I'm a big fan of Magic Johnson. So, you know, we're tight like that. But I remember, you remember when Magic came out and he had AIDS and everything. It was like, at that time, it was so dire and we've come so far, right?
Yeah.
From
that. Plus, you know, he was rich, so he had access to the best drugs.
Of course. But
he had access to the best drugs and the best doctors, you know. Yeah.
But until it hit somebody, you know, a megastar like that, people weren't feeling it. You know, a lot of people were just ignoring it.
Yes.
Magic getting it really put a spotlight on it. And it's like when COVID hit, right, in America, people weren't even worried about it. Then Tom Hanks caught it. And it was like, oh, my God, Tom Hanks has the COVID. That means we could all get it. You know, so it's like that. Some people live vicariously through, you know, there. Mm.
37.7 million estimated number of people living with HIV and AIDS in 2020. Living with HIV in 2020.
I mean, that number is an accomplishment.
680,000 people died from HIV-related causes in 2020. 1.5 million people were newly infected in 2020, Harry. 1.5 million. And 73% of people living with HIV received lifelong antiviral therapy in 2020. So it remains a major public health issue that affects millions of people. I mean, Harry, you don't have to worry about this, but somebody like me who's out there dating, I still have to ask those questions. Like, I can't pretend that I'm not going to be affected. I'm 58. And, you know, my age group, Harry, is one of the highest groups that get HIV and AIDS, you know, that because, you know, we old school thinking, you know, he looks clean. He doesn't look like he has HIV. you know. Well, you know, but you have to ask people. You have to ask people questions. You have to ask people, are you an intravenous drug user? You don't have to just call them an addict. You just like, do you use intravenous drugs? Do you share needles? Are you having sexual intercourse with men? You don't ask them if they're gay, because that was one of the problems I had when I was running AIDS Project. If you ask somebody if they're, you ask a black man if he's gay, he gonna say, that's a lifestyle. I'm not with that. You know, some black men. But if you ask men, are you having sexual intercourse with men? That's a different question. In their mind, that's a different question. And so I used to run these workshops, Harry, with young women, telling them these are the questions you have to ask to keep yourself safe. You know, because there would be men out there who were married, stepping out on their wives, and these women are showing up at the hospital getting infected with an infection, with the infection, and swear they don't know how they got it. Well, because your husband has not been truthful.
Yeah, I mean, I knew a couple of people who got it from, you know, taking drugs, sharing needles.
Yeah.
I know a father and son who ended up passing away because they were both drug addicts and they were sharing.
And, you know, New Haven had this, we had a very innovative needle campaign where the health department was out there giving out clean needles to folks that they knew, and people were like, oh, it's so controversial. I was like, but they're not gonna stop.
you know, did that van program go away in New Haven?
I think it did, Harry. I think it really just recently got shut down. I think
right before the pandemic, I think it got shut down.
Yeah,
because I knew the people who were working it, and I remember them getting laid off, and I don't think they ever brought it back.
But that saved a lot of people. We were one of the first in the country to do it, and people, you know, it was very controversial, Harry. Like people, oh, Yale took it over from the health department. Okay. Because I was concerned about that, because I knew how innovative and progressive that was. You know, because the mindset was these people are going to use, this kind of addiction is a real problem. And just because you say, if you use these dirty needles, you run the risk. When you're an addict, Harry, you just like, listen, this needle is in front of me. Yeah. I don't care if 20 other people used it. I need this right now. And so to give out needles was progressive and innovative. And it saved a lot of lives, Harry. Like, it saved a lot of lives, you know. So,
yeah, it was a. I was always mixed on the program, but because I knew the people who were doing the program, so I knew how good these people are and their intentions and everything. But I was always mixed on actually supplying stuff for people, but it did work. I mean, it helped people not, you know, share needles and get sick. So I don't know, but the whole thing, you see that de Blasio just opened up clinics in New York so that people could go in and use at like basically a clinic. And that's very controversial right now in New York because he's doing it on his way out. You know, he has like a couple, maybe a month left.
Well, I mean, whatever you got to, I mean, I think we have to, I don't know how much room there is for moral outrage in health matters. I think there's a great deal of room for ethics. Yes.
Oh, right.
Like when you're sticking frog brains and creating robots, you know what I mean? Like, I find that problematic, but I think
we just all fail to understand that it could be us at any moment, you know,
at any moment, Harry, I believe that. Like you know, Arthur Ashe died of AIDS, and the press ran to out him trying to be salacious, and and he got it from a blood transfusion, from being in a hospital. And they didn't give him opportunity to sort of share with the public the way he wanted to share with the public, the press went. You know, that was the beginning of gotcha journalism, I guess. I don't bring up Arthur Ashe to make a moral point. I bring up a point, Harry, that what you just said, it could happen to any of us. Now, yes, hospitals take much greater precautions these days, you know, but still, nothing is infallible, right? We're humans. And humans, make all kinds of mistakes.
Yeah.
All kinds of mistakes. And, you know, I haven't had an HIV test in a good while. I remember getting them when I was a younger woman. Because I was out there like a lot of people. And, you know, quite honestly, well, anyway, I thank the gods, Harry, that I didn't get HIV and AIDS because, you know, recklessness.
I mean, that's what I mean. I mean, if we all, you know, I don't know anyone who's perfect. So,
and if you are, I'm just thinking you're a robot. you got brain in your DNA.
Not even, because I just don't believe you. You know, so when people stand on that, you know, soapbox and start judging everybody, I just don't believe you, you know, so, you know, and that's why it never affects me, because there's just no way you're a better person than me. You know, I never buy that. I don't care what you think you are. You know, I never, somebody who's looking down their nose at me, I just don't value people like that. So people's opinions of me like that, it rolls right off. And I wish other people could do that. I see how other people's judgments really has an effect on people. I mean,
it's crippling, Harry. Yeah, I always call it the choir of them.
Yeah. And I feel really bad for them, because you want to tell them, hey, they don't mean anything.
Yeah. No, I know.
Think better of yourself. That's it. Yeah. Love you. Love you.
It takes a lot of time in therapy for people to work on that. So, and I think this is why these kinds of things, this is why we have pandemics, Harry, because we can't get everybody on one accord, and people get afraid, and they listen to the wrong people, and then they get stuck. You know, they really get stuck. And it is, you know, I mean, HIV and AIDS are still with us. People are still getting infected. Still, after all this time, people are still having unprotected sex. People are still sharing needles. People are still having, you know, I mean, is this.
And the cases were rising again before the pandemic. I don't know. I mean, yeah, you're right. People, I think people take for granted that you could survive it now, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're right, Harry. People treat it like it's the flu. Like, if you get it, they could keep you alive with some drugs, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and condoms, you got to use condoms. You got to, you know, So this is the New Haven Mayor's Task Force on AIDS, 35 years of service, advocacy and prevention in the HIV community. I remember going and reporting in front of the mayor's task force on AIDS. I don't think I was ever on it, but God knows I could have been, because it ain't too much I haven't done in this town. But anyway, ending the epidemic, a shared partnership. And Dolores Greenlee is my sorority sister and co-chair, along with Dr. Grabera. I believe that's how you say his name. Reverend, I'm sorry, Reverend Alex Garbera. So there's a whole bunch of activities planned for today. Dazon Dixon is the keynote. And it's from 1 to 4, and and it's virtual. So if you didn't want to show up downtown, which I don't think they're advocating, you can go and you can tune in virtually. You can, and there's the registration at the bottom of our screen. We have it up so people can see where they can go and register. And if you have a loved one who has passed, you can submit their names too, Harry. They're going to just acknowledge the folks who have passed. And Dolores Greenlee and Jennifer Wells, Jennifer is a school teacher, and my sorority sister, a school teacher in the public school system here in New Haven. Their mother passed from HIV and AIDS. So, and that family owned the Monterey. They are the descendants of the folks who owned the Monterey Jazz Club on Dixville Avenue. So Dolores Greenlee has been in this fight for a very long time. And she has led conversations within our sorority about this matter. So she's coming on Thursday just to, you know, tell a little bit of her story. I've had her in the paper. I've had her, you know, I think I had her on once before when we first started doing these shows, these radio shows. But it'd be good to see her again today. So today is World AIDS Day. So if you have your blue red ribbon, put it on today. I know you probably hadn't seen it in a long time. Dig it out. I know some of y'all got an enameled one. Get it out. See what's happening. You know, and I remember I had a Kente one, Harry, because I was like, you know, black folks. Because, you know, we were dying at large rates. I remember when I first met Mrs. Cofield, when AIDS Project New Haven moved across the street from AIDS Interfaith. Ms. Cofield was the only person in the faith community that was trying to get folks buried, because you know what was happening, Harry? People would die, specifically black people. This is what I know about. I don't know what it was like in the white communities, but in black communities, people had to tell ministers and churches that what their loved ones died from was something other than AIDS-related stuff, because churches were turning their backs. Churches was taking a moral stand on something that was that morally didn't need to be stood on. and so if Mrs. Cofield was alive today, she'd be speaking somewhere. But she was my sorority sister too, Harry. Small statuist, small woman in size. Harry, she would go to these churches, and these churches would tell her to her face, I'm not accepting people. These gay people are products of the devil. They get what God inflicted them with this. They deserve it. And she would just be like, are you kidding me? I swear to God, I wish I could go with her to some of those conversations, because you know, she's a Christian woman. I'm a Christian in practice, you know, in training. I could have just cussed people out for her, because I would have. It was like, are you out of your mind? And so churches turned their backs, Harry. And she was just, so she went around, this is how AIDS Interfaith got started. She went around raising money to bury people. To bury people, Harry, because churches were like, no, you ain't bringing them AIDS bodies up in here. You know, that those sinners. Huh. It was just awful. Children, they didn't care. You got AIDS, don't tell us that. Now, if you say they died from cirrhosis of the liver or pneumonia or...
I mean, when I wish I was as good as you, Babs, when it came to that, I was just doing it to get paid. When I used to work in the hospitals and everything, I was looking for overtime.
But the problem that I don't even have a problem with that, Harry, because no matter what your motivations were, you showed up.
No, and the thing
is, people didn't even show up, even for pay.
No, well, that's what I was going to say. Because I mean, once the doctor explained to me that I was a bigger threat to them than they were to me, I realized that not only did I have to, you know, take care of everything around them, but I had to make sure that I wasn't a liability to them. Mm. You know, so it was important, but I was the kind of guy who would, you know, I needed to pay my rent back then. I had like three jobs, right? And, you know, the Beth Israel one was the higher paying job. So if I could get, you know, overtime there, I would grab it. So I would do the late night snow cleaning. I would do the psych ward. I would raise my hand for the psych ward. Nobody liked the psych ward either. because in the psych ward, you had to clean up a lot of blood, you know, and everything. So I'll be like, but you know, yeah, I was never that good hearted to do it just out of the kindness of my heart. But you're right. I wasn't afraid. Well, another thing is that I'm a factual based person. So you explain something to me and I could run with that, you know? So it's like, oh, they're not a danger to you. You're a danger to them. Okay. Yeah. Got it.
Yeah. And let us not forget. Thank you, Lo. AIDS research provided an on-ramp for battling COVID. That's why they called Dr. Fauci in, because he was the leader on HIV and AIDS and how to fight it, you know. So
Ife says she was fortunate enough to work for Ms. Cofield as the Day Center coordinator at AIDS Interfaith Network.
Yes, Ife and I, our lives have been very much paralleled, but I remember that work.
And Angel Castro, who happens to be my brother-in-law, he said he had an ex-girlfriend, you know, back then, who died of AIDS, and it was very scary for him because, you know.
Yeah, because that's your girlfriend. And
the lack of precautions he used to take. Yeah,
probably wasn't using condoms.
Right, so.
No, because people put, you know, if you were in a relationship with somebody, Harry, and you said, I need you to use condoms, you know, it created a whole firestorm because people were like, so why do I have to use condoms with you? Like, we're in a relationship, you know, and so much lying went on, you know. I mean, because at one point, Harry, Black women was the rising fastest number of cases. Black women and their children are giving birth to children with HIV and AIDS. And then they found out giving birth to children with HIV and AIDS, that somehow or other in their immune system, they didn't grow up with it, that it somehow or other, they were able, babies were able to, some babies were able to grow up without HIV and AIDS in their system.
Just imagine the conversation, Babs. Karen and I go into the bedroom and I go, you know what? I should start using a condom now.
Yeah, that would be problematic.
Exactly. Well,
that would be hella problematic, Harry. That would be problematic on so many levels, you know. But here's the thing. But why it wouldn't be problematic? Because she has not had to deal with you stepping out on her in the past. Women who have relationships with men who they know they've had past problems with them stepping out, that's where the problem is. That's where the truth telling needs to be real. And that, you know what? And if somebody's, and listen, Harry, there are drug users out there who are not dirty, ranky, whatever. There are people who function very, very well with their addiction. They go to work, they hold down jobs, they raise families, they just have this addiction. You know, sometimes we put the wrong faces on things so that we could scare or shame or whatever. But Harry, there are people who go to work who serve in responsible roles who are addicts.
I know, Babs. We have functioning everything, right? We have functioning alcoholics, functioning heroin addicts, functioning psychopaths. We have functioning everything in this world. Yes. And we're fooled by those who show it more easily than others.
Yeah.
You know?
And so that poses a risk, you know.
Risk.
And so so women like me who are out there dating, we got a laundry list of questions we gotta ask. It can't be all romance and fairy tale. Reality seeps in. There's a laundry list of questions you have to ask. And you should, for your own safety. I'm too old to be getting HIV and AIDS at this point, Harry. For one night of what? Mm-mm. Nope.
See,
No.
For me, it ain't dating. For me, it's going into a public bathroom and being shocked. It shocks the bowel movement or the urination right out of me.
Well, the good thing is that you cannot get it using public facilities.
I don't know what I'm going to get from some of those bathrooms that you go into.
Yeah, but we don't want to.
I'm not spreading that. I don't want to spread that.
We don't want to spread that because we have already had that fight.
I'm just saying I have issues.
Yes. Oh no, my sister's the same way too. Public bathrooms are like kryptonite. Yep. Seriously, like kryptonite.
And I almost don't want to go into the bathroom because then I have to see the bad other people's bad habits if they go into the bathroom with me. You know, so it's like, I'm not going to look at this guy the same anymore. You know what I'm saying? It's bad for me. Ignorance is bliss with other people's issues, other bad, their bad habits, not washing their hands or whatever they do.
Harry, I saw this thing on 2020 some years ago. It was at least 15, 20 years ago. They put a jar of mints at the front desk, you know, like in a corporate office. And people would come out of the bathroom, grab some mints. And then at the end of the day, they would measure the amount of urine on the mints that were left.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
They would measure the amount of urine that was on the mints, because what was happening, people would come out of the bathroom, not wash their hands, grab mints and keep it moving. And you know, when you grab mints, Harry, your whole hand goes into the jar, you know, into the bowl. You leave some, you don't grab as many as you think you're going to grab. Like, you touch them all before you settle on the ones you're going to grab. That cured me of eating stuff out of community bowls.
I mean, at work,
unless it's in wrapper paper, I don't do it anymore.
At work, you know, I appreciate everybody I work with, right? But if I'm not first into whatever's brought into the office, then I'm not getting any. I have to be first. So if they bring cookies or anything.
Oh my God, Harry.
I have to be first or I'm done.
Y'all heard it here. So if y'all bring stuff over to the office, make sure y'all call Harry first so he get his piece. Otherwise, you know, he's not getting none.
You know, and it's not just me, because that's why, like, when I bring donuts, I bring individual bags for the older lady, Doña Lidia, and for Layla, because they're the same. So if they're not first, if they got to see other people dig in, and you know, some of us are very perceptive, right? We watch other people do things and then touch food. So
yes.
So if we're not first, that's why I bring individual donuts, bags of donuts for people in the office. Now, for the rest of them, I know I could just throw a box on the table, you know, like serving the – I was going to say something bad, but never mind. You know how they throw the food into the pig pen?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but yeah, if people don't know that about me already, is I don't know why you've been watching, or you're not paying attention. It's like when Layla walks in through the door, she goes, "I knew you were here. I knew you came in today because I could smell the Lysol in the hallway." You know, she gets off the elevator and she goes, "Oh, Harry's in." Because she knows I've been cleaning it. Before she gets in, everything has been wiped down.
Of course it has.
And you know, Babs, I freaking, the, what do you call it? The board, the audio board, you see how it is, right? Stained white from the Lysol. They got to make something that's not as corrosive as Lysol, so. You could spray
it. I don't know. I don't know what is.
I don't know.
Well, anyway, it is World AIDS Day, people. So tune in. And this disease is still with us. It is still taking lives. It is still in our communities. So.
It pays to be a little OCD. Your sister has the right idea.
What?
So only if you're about to die or pass out, you don't use a public bathroom.
Did she post that?
Well, listen,
let me tell you something, Harry.
I'm just saying.
When she was a new mother and she had babies, Harry, do you know she was like you, Harry? My sister would whip out cleaning products. I was like, girl, what you get?
You have to.
She would travel with her own cleaning products, Harry, when she had baby, when they were babies, because she was not. Oh, my. And when her kids had to go to the bathroom, Lord have mercy. Those poor children. My children, too. But I could tolerate a public bathroom a little bit more than her. But my sister could not.
I think I got you guys beat because I had a portable bathroom in my van. Take out the portable bathroom.
I think if she would have known that, she would have did that, Harry.
Yeah, I had a divider to cover up Bella so nobody's watching. So it was like having your own bathroom right off the van.
Oh my Lord!
My daughter was like, you are unbelievable. I said, like, yeah, this, I'm not going into, I can't do it, so I don't expect her to do it. And Bella would just throw herself on a seat and make me almost pass out watching herself just throw herself on the seat like nothing.
That's so, how my daughters were. And it would just, Harry, my head would fall off. Yeah, I was like, oh my God! And then I just, there's nothing I could do. Because they would just drop them panties and jump on the seat. I was like, oh!
I know.
Before I had a chance to wipe it or anything. Harry, oh my God.
I know. I mean, I was holding her up in the air until she got too heavy to hold up in the air. Because if I stopped to clean it, she'd be dancing and she'd be like, Papa, oh, Papa, why? Papa, Papa, try not to go on her. So I just would hold up in the air.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be like, you peeing like it's the Matrix.
Yes. 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 So, listen, those are our public bathroom chronicles.
Oh, no. I know. We went from age zeta to the bathroom, but.
I know.
I have issues.
Listen, at this show, we do it all. There's no stone unturned.
I'm not saying you're going to catch anything from the bathroom. I'm just saying.
No, he's just saying this is his pet peeves. And there's a lot of y'all. My sister's the same. I'm telling you, my sister is the same way.
And you know what? If you could give me anything in life, it's like if you work with me, clean up after yourself. You know, it's like if you use the bathroom, clean the bathroom. I would never leave a dirty bathroom for the person who's going to follow me. Ugh.
Yeah. No, I know, Harry. I mean, I just when I go to the bathroom, I just clean around. I just clean it before I use it. That's just what I do. And then, I'm good. You know, I just feel like, okay. But, beyond that.
I have my own little bag that I take to the bathroom.
Okay, no, I don't have that.
No, I have a bag with cleaning supplies and everything. And the rubber gloves.
I'm going to the mall with Harry.
and that's the problem, right? Because I may pass out before I get to use it. Because if it's a mess, that's why sometimes I just give up. I walk in and I'm like, oh no, I'm not doing that. And I'll just hold it for the rest of the day. You know, when I go in, I think I can't hold it, but that cures me really fast. The bathroom is sometimes. Oof.
Wow.
Anyway, enough about bathrooms.
Okay, enough. All right. I'm reading this story, Harry, on Law and Crime. You know, Dan Abrams has a Facebook page, Law and Crime. And, he always finds the craziest crimes that you ever want to hear about. So this one is a mother in South Carolina was arrested after authorities say She used a deer hunting rifle to shoot and kill her 6-year-old son on Thanksgiving, only an hour after she used the same firearm to kill a deer. This woman, 31, Mary Amelia Roseborough of Chester, was taken into custody Thursday and accused of murdering her child. What the hell happened to her?
What was the reason? I don't understand. So did killing the deer trigger something in her?
I don't know. You know, out there in the woods, messing around. She came home and killed him. I was like, wasn't nobody else in the house? It's like, sister, you going to jail, whatever state you in. Does South Carolina have a death penalty? She's white.
Well, that's South Carolina sounds like it should have the death penalty.
Oh, you know, she had drug addictions.
Yeah, but why do I don't get some things. I don't get it. You saw the in Michigan, the school shooting?
Yeah, what was that about?
I don't know, but the father had just bought the 9mm about 4 days prior. And the kid took it to school and shot three of his classmates. Now the question for me is, do they have laws in you protecting your weapon? You know, like, do you have, because if they don't have those type of laws, I think those are the laws that they need to bring forth. If you don't have your gun locked up, like if your kid takes your gun, it should be because he broke into whatever, you know, thing you have that has all your guns locked up. So when the police go and investigate, you should say, oh, he broke into my safe. Oh, he broke into my gun cabinet, whatever it is. But yeah, you can't just leave your guns laying around when you have kids.
Yeah.
I want to figure that out. What is it? Did the guy buy the gun and just leave it where the, you know, his 15-year-old could get to it?
I don't know what happened in the he. So the 15-year-old took the gun to school.
Yeah, and
killed people.
Killed three people, shot others, and at one point he was in the hallway saying that he was the cop. He was like, you know, I'm an officer.
And they didn't kill him? Is he still alive?
Well, when the police went in, the police actually, they ain't playing anymore. They were in there in they said 3 to 5 minutes. They just burst in and he put his hands up. He dropped the gun and put his hands up.
Well, you can't kill him after that. I mean, you can't.
He wasn't looking to you know, commit suicide by cop.
With white kids? He was a white shooter? Because, you know, they don't kill the white shooters, Harry.
Well, more than likely, because
he's alive.
Well, not just that. They haven't named the kid. They named the victims. But
this is a white school. This is a white school.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It looked like a predominantly white school. So
yeah, all right. So a white kid. So he can put his hands up. They don't shoot him. But if he had been black, he would have been hands up or nothing. Who cares? You down.
So, yeah. So, I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy. I mean, but I there's just no sense in anything that's happening these days in America. There's so much violence going on.
Well, I mean, I think it's always been a violent place. I just think now we got cameras on everything. Do you know what I mean? Like, we just know about it. It was always violent. I mean, the Wild Wild West was violent. I mean, it was always, this country was founded on violence. Baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, Chevrolet, violence. I, you know, Harry, when I remember those lyrics, I was like, oh my God, it's hot dogs. That's the missing word. Hot dogs. Baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, Chevrolet, violence.
I think they said it's like the 531st mass shooting or something like that.
Yeah, we haven't reached the number of the tipping point. You know, listen, I'm still stuck in Connecticut, Harry. I'm still stuck in the Sandy Hook. If we ain't changed laws, hearts, and minds at Sandy Hook, we're not going to. We're not going to.
Chris Murphy yesterday after the shooting, got up and gave a very passionate speech on
Harry, we ain't at a loss for passionate speeches. He ain't gonna change not one heart nor minds, because he is from Connecticut. If we couldn't do it for Sandy Hook, we're not going to do it.
Well, we changed laws here in Connecticut.
Well, yeah, but.
But it doesn't go, you know, nationwide.
Well, we changed laws in Connecticut, and yet we just had a bunch of we're up to how many shootings in Connecticut? In New Haven.
Yeah, but you can't do anything. That's the only thing where, you know, his passionate speech. Getting the guns off the streets. How do you do that?
The same way you do anything if you have the political will to do it. you can do anything. We can send people to the moon. How do you send people to the moon? How do you do that?
But it's different.
Is it a slingshot? How do you do that?
Remember the problems with Stop and Frisk in New York. Mm-hmm. That's the only way you get illegal guns off the streets. Mm-hmm. And that's a problem. I mean, so I don't know how you do it unless, which is never going to happen, Babs, unless you go after the manufacturers who allow these guns to sneak out, you know, their plants. So unless you're going to go after manufacturers, and I guarantee you that's not going to happen anytime soon, because all of them are in bed with these manufacturers. So I just don't see it.
Yeah. Wow.
And even then, let's say we stop selling guns tomorrow. There's still more guns than people in America. I think we have twice as many guns as people. So how do you get rid of those? And I'm sure probably like half of those guns are illegal guns.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem. Unless you're going to start stopping and frisking people.
Mm-hmm. Nope, we're not going to do that.
And then now with the ghost,
they're not gonna stop and frisk everybody. They're just gonna say, "Well, it's black people's fault."
Mm-hmm. And now with the ghost guns, right? You have people printing guns on their 3D printers.
Mm-hmm. That's problematic.
How about you don't allow a printer? You write it into the coding of the printer. Of course, anybody could hack the software and force it to, but not many people are just going to be able to do it in their bedrooms, you know, because they're bored.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you.
Yeah. Yep.
There's lots of problems. Oh, did we do the call letters? Come on now. It's 10:04. If you just tuned in to Love Babs Love Talk on 103.5 WNHH, live streaming on the New Haven Independent and on all our social media sites. And by the way, if you're out and about, get vaccinated. If you've been vaccinated, get boosted. Just saying. Let's save the world together.
Babs, stop trying to take away my freedom.
I know. But you know what? Your freedom impinges on my freedom. So your right to be stupid harms me.
It's not about you. It's about me.
Your right to be ignorant and stupid is harming me.
Yeah, but how you know, you're not thinking about me, about my freedom.
I know, but I need you to think about everybody else around you.
You want me to think about you, but you ain't thinking about me.
Well, I want you to live long enough in your stupidity. And then the way to do that is to get vaccinated.
Anyway, all right, let's play a little music break so I could throw in the PSAs.
There you go. We'll be back.
We'll be right back. You're listening to Love Babs Love Talk on WNHH LP 103.5 FM, your home for community radio. Ooh.
life back? Get vaccinated. I did. Got questions about the vaccines? Did you know that there's a place you can go and get the answers and the facts about the vax? Check it out. Then you decide. New Haven. Get the facts, facts. It's free and it's your choice. To get the vax facts or to find a vaccination center near you, visit covid19.newhavenct.gov. Again, covid19.newhavenct.gov. Stay safe.
Hi, I'm Emil. Want your life back?
Get vaccinated. We did.
Got questions about the vaccine? Talk to your fam. And fill your drinks.
To get back to life, get the vax. It's free and it's your choice. To get the facts or two, find a vaccine center near you. Visit bit.ly/NHVCovidFacts. That's bit.ly/NHVCovidFacts.
Hola, soy Emil. ¿Quieres recuperar tu vida?
Vacúnate. Nosotros lo hicimos.
¿Tienes preguntas sobre la vacuna? Habla con tu familia.
Oye, usa tu máscara. Yo lo hago.
Para recuperar tu vida, vacúnate. Es gratis y es tu elección. Para obtener información sobre la vacuna o para encontrar un centro de vacunas cerca de ti, ve a bit.ly/NHVCovidFacts.
My name is Troy. I am 8 years old and go to Lincoln Bassett School. Every kid deserves to be safe with friends, to be safe at school, or just to play safely at recess. Now all kids 5 and up can be vaccinated. It's my turn to be safer.
This is Dr. Tamiko Jackson MacArthur from New Haven Pediatrics. Vaccinations are free and safe. For answers, visit covid19.newhavenct.gov. For your child's sake, don't kid around.
Soy la directora de salud de New Haven, Marisa Bahn. Todos los niños merecen estar seguros en la escuela, con amigos o simplemente jugando en el recreo. Ahora todos los niños a partir de 5 pueden vacunarse. Es su turno a estar más seguros. Las vacunas son gratis y seguras. Para obtener información sobre la vacuna, visite covid19.newhavenct.gov. Por el bienestar de su hijo, no brome con eso.
Zangana bazale bamumbazi bonena zindingo. Oh,
and you're listening to WNHHLP 103.5 FM, streaming live at newhavenindependent.org.
And welcome back to the second hour of the Love Babs Love Talk on WNHHLP 103.5 FM. You're muted, Babs.
Good morning, beautiful people. Woo! Welcome back to the second hour. It's cold. I just got a little chilly. I'm having dinner with, I'm going to see King Richard tonight and dinner with Andrew. So we could, because, you know, he's a tennis head. So
you're going to see it where?
Bowtie Theaters downtown.
Oh, because I think it's already on
I know it's streaming, but you can see it in the movie still.
Yeah, it's already on HBO Max, right? I think.
Yeah. Yeah. But we want to go out, so you know, you want to go out, Harry, you gotta go out. So we're gonna go out. Probably gonna get some dinner after. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. He's picking me up. So we got to go see a movie. And then
yeah, I have the girls this weekend. So.
Oh, okay. All of them, even Lumi?
No, Lumi we only have for a few hours on Friday.
Okay.
Lumi is still very attached to the parents.
Well, she's breastfeeding?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
she's tethered.
So they think I send the other two hellions over to your house. Papa. So no, yeah. They growing up nicely. Growing up nicely. So but,
yeah, listen. You know, I thought I had finished Christmas shopping, but
oh Lord,
I saw a couple of things. You know, with after Black Friday sales, and you know,
Harry, and, you know what?
that I had to pick up. You know, the thing is that see, Karen decides how it gets given out because Bella's birthday is 2 weeks after Christmas. You know, so we could save stuff for her birthday, we could save stuff for Daisy's birthday, which you know Daisy's birthday, right, Babs?
Mm-hmm. We have the same birthday.
But I mean, it takes a little longer, but yeah, so we could hold stuff. Got to grab stuff when they're on sale, though.
I guess.
When I see
how much stuff they got now, because. I think they're probably at max.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is that when there's stuff that's clearly on sale, like you're getting 80% off on some things, I got to grab it because I know, you know, I know what's useful and what's not and what's going to break and what's not. So I grab good stuff when it's on sale.
Mm-hmm. You know.
And that's how I sell it to Karen. I'm like, this is 80% off. Look, it would have cost $200.
You know what? See, you bad. You are just, you know what, Harry? You're what's keeping the retail industry afloat.
Yeah, you're right. Amazon be like, oh, you think we're going to go through a rough patch? Harry keeps ordering. Don't worry about it.
Harry Drews. They probably got signed.
Harry's on subscription.
Shrine.
Yeah, Harry's on subscription. Don't worry. He has his boxes of paper towels coming every month.
I know they got a shrine up to you. You see this man right here?
I know.
Man, I'm right here keeps me in rocket ships.
I don't even work for them, and I'm the employee of the month.
You're keeping Jeff Bezos in rocket ships. All right, Harry. Whatever.
Yeah,
I'm a little hungry now. I'm telling you.
or you know, here goes my show food.
Cashews.
Mm-hmm. And I have like, you know, cashew stock there. I got like, I'm running low. I got like 4 left of these.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I'm running low.
A little low. I need a little bit more.
The thing is, I have one at every workstation. So upstairs, I got one that's probably 3/4 eaten. The protein is good for you, right?
I don't know what to say. I think so.
Oh, I got to stop getting them salted, though.
Yeah, you got to get them unsalted.
Yeah.
Are those sea salted? If they're not sea, you know, see if they have them sea salted.
Yeah, it doesn't say, so it's not.
Oh, then it's not.
It just says salted.
You know what you can do, Harry? Buy the salted ones and the unsalted ones and just mix you half and half in another container. That way, you know, because those salted ones will salt the unsalted one. It'll give you a nice balance.
I got, you know, it's just I grab whatever, I throw everything in the cart, the Instacart. Mm-hmm. But I got like 3 of them are unsalted over there.
Oh, then mix them together.
Yeah.
You know, half and half or more unsalted, less unsalted, mix them together. And I think you'll be satisfied. I think you'll be satisfied.
See, look, my brother-in-law said Black Friday and Cyber Monday is BS.
He's right. I agree.
Yeah. Okay. But they got me.
Because you.
And then he's telling me to eat almonds. I'm allergic to almonds. You're trying to kill me?
Yeah. Okay. Your brother don't know you. No, he can't have almonds. Cashews. You know what you should try too? Pecans. And macadamia nuts, like mix them up.
They
all have different benefits.
I like macadamia, but the pecans don't taste as good. I like the pecans in pie.
Oh my.
So I gotta have the pie with the pecans.
Oh my God.
You know what? I think I'm gonna get a pecan pie and I love saying pecan pie. Pecan pie. I don't know. I love saying it. Mm. Anyway, that's besides the point.
Well, no, I love pecan pie too. It's a little challenging to find the vegan ones, but I was in Trader Joe's yesterday and I bought vegan banana nut bread. Which
for me, it's always vegan. Everything's vegan. If it doesn't have chicken in it. Which I think chicken is vegan, but that's besides the point. If it doesn't have meat in the pie, it's vegan, isn't it?
No, because it could have milk and butter. You know, things I can't have.
Those are vegan.
Not milk and butter. They come from animals.
Yeah, but those animals are vegan.
No, they're not. They should be vegan, but they're not.
No, but do cows eat meat and stuff? No.
Harry, if they had their way, they wouldn't eat meat, but farms give them meat.
Oh, they do?
Ugh. Yes.
Now, I understand the pigs, right? They're so filthy, but so delicious.
Well, a good... Well, I mean, I don't know if pigs are filthy. They just don't have sweat glands. So I think that's just a misnomer. Well,
but they're the garbage disposal. They get fed all the garbage stuff.
Well, you got to go to a farm that feeds pigs well. That's what conscious eating does. You think about where you get your meat from. And you only go to places where they give the animals good, healthy food. So that you ingest good, healthy food.
I get it. I know that eggs and milk and butter are not vegan. I'm just, you know, playing the devil's advocate here. But even though chickens are vegans, they don't eat meat.
Yeah, but they give them meat.
How?
And they give them food. You gotta feed chicken food pellets. They give them meat. Yes, they do.
That's just evil. What, they feed them chicken?
Possibly. It's good for us. It might be good for them. No. So Marquise and I were at Trader Joe's yesterday. So I bought a few things. I wanted, they had some Trader Joe's had vegan gingerbread, but they didn't have it at this one. That's what I went for. I wanted gingerbread. I ended up getting molasses cookies because I like molasses cookies.
The only problem I have with Trader Joe's is whichever Trader Joe's I go into, they all smell the same. There's this weird odor. I don't know if it's just that they carry certain things, but it triggers my OCD. I start thinking stuff ain't clean.
Well, I don't know about that, Harry. I can't.
Now you, I can't, it's just me. It's me. It's just the smell that's in every Trader Joe's.
Mm. Okay. And I brought some oat eggnog. Although I'm not really loving the Trader Joe's version.
What did you say? You bought eggnog?
Yeah, oat eggnog. Oat milk eggnog. I'm going to have to go to Edge of the Woods and get what I need because I'm not sure I like Trader Joe's stuff.
You don't do Whole Foods?
Yeah, I just didn't go over there yesterday because we left out of Trader Joe's and I was just like, eh. But it was, it's up the street a little bit, so I could have went. I like going to Whole Foods. I went there and I got some scones the other week. Because they have vegan scones.
I
like the scones.
Is there meat in fertilizer? Are plants given meat?
I don't know. You could look it up. I don't think so.
I hope not.
That'd be a little... I don't know what to say about that.
You know what? I should become vegan. The problem
is you have to give up chicken.
That's the problem.
Yeah, well, you don't have to give it up all. Listen, just be vegan a few times a week. Not every day. That way on the days you have chicken, you're like, oh, I'm having chicken on Thursday. And then all the other days don't eat any meat.
And I got chicken right now waiting for me.
Of course you do.
That's a hard one to give up.
Of course you do. I think once I leave here, I might go get some breakfast. I might. Well, you know what? Maybe not. I'm going out to dinner tonight. Maybe I don't want to be eating all day. We'll see.
How is white chocolate doing?
He's all right. What the hell you said that? I was like, Harry calls you white chocolate. I was like, I don't know if you should be flattered or insulted.
I hope he knows it's a compliment.
Coming from you, Harry, he will take it as a compliment. He's fine. I'll see him tonight. And, Andrew's good people. He's good people. So we'll hang out. And, And I'm in New York on Saturday. I'm going to go see Slave Play, Harry, because my friend Jion Chang did the lighting and design for it. So I'm going to go see Slave Play on Saturday in New York. My sister's coming in too. So, and Ife is going to meet up. We're going to all meet up with some of her friends.
I'm looking for a story I was reading earlier on Huffington Post. I can't find it. Of a young black kid who was forced to be a slave in a play.
What?
Yeah. I'm trying to find it.
Oh, I know you. Oh, okay. Listen, my kids have come home with those little roles. I remember My son Khalil came home from school with that same thing. And I just crossed it out and wrote Nat Turner. And then we did a little research and put all the Nat Turner stuff in. I bet you, I guarantee you they stopped doing that mess. They no longer did that mess at a parochial school. I was like, what?
Yeah, I don't understand. I mean, I don't understand.
They want to put out what they want to put out, but they don't want critical race theory to be taught. You know, American history.
I think that's critical race theory right there, right?
Well, that's critical foolishness.
Yeah, I know. So like you can teach a lesson off of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Bella had an issue yesterday at her school. Nothing to do with, well, I don't know if it has anything to do with race, but they refused. They gave her a plate of food. Now, Bella has so many allergies, she can't have most of the things that they serve, right? And so they gave her a basically a poison lunch yesterday because it would have killed her. And she said, I can't have this. She said, look at the menu for me. And the lunch people told her, oh, you're allergic to everything. You know, just.
And
they didn't give her the correct food. So she went and sat down. And she said that they were laughing at her and she stood without eating. So her father is down there today. So
I'm sure he is. I'm surprised her grandfather ain't down there on a broom.
I have to, you know.
Harry's like, they call me in when they need the enforcer.
Yeah, I have to stay away from this stuff because they have to do it themselves. And, her, you know, the father is good at that. Yeah. And my daughter.
I can't believe in this day and age, Harry, that they are still doing this to kids. Like, it ain't like she just showed up yesterday. She's a new kid in school. She has had this issue from day one, and all the protocols are in place to keep her safe. And you mean to tell me these lunch workers are what? They was having a bad day, and it was like, damn, this little kid, we don't care?
I know. It's just, that's what I'm saying. I don't know.
Tag me in, Dad. Tag me in. It's been a long time since I wrangled some administrators. I'll come over there, use their language against them.
No, yeah, I mean, Karen was
mad.
Was offering to be the one to go today, but
Karen's like, let me go.
I'm like, let's just let them deal with this.
Sometimes, Harry, sometimes these things are too good to let the parents handle it. Sometimes I just like, let me go over there. And I will deal with them. Oh my God. And so she had nothing to eat.
Yep.
All day.
And you know, you know, I've been through, you know, those issues with my kids where the resource officer is there for me. So you know,
resource officer is code for what? School cop?
Yes. Yes, who, you know, always had to calm Harry down.
That makes no sense. In this day and age, Harry, they know kids come to school with all kinds of allergies. I don't care if it's one or 2001. This is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, I don't get it.
All right. Well, sure her brother's going to work it out.
Oh, he's going to work it
out. That I saw from the 70s, brother's going to work it out. Listen, we're not putting up with that mess. We're not doing it. We are not doing it.
Yeah, and you know, thank God Bella doesn't just put anything in her mouth. She's just like,
well, she knows better because it'll harm her.
Yeah.
I get it. Nobody wants to go through that mess. Nobody wants to go through it.
Yeah, but why would those workers want to go through that?
Because they were just being asshats.
You know, poison a kid.
Because, you know, it's easy to pick on kids, Harry. It's so easy to pick on kids. That's why people do it. It's easy. They would never do that to the principal. Right?
I know, right? say, oh, you're allergic to everything. You don't get food.
They're not going to do it to the principal. They know who to do that mess to. They know exactly who to do it to. And they did it. They did it to a little kid. So
it's crazy. So I don't know if you want to talk about this, but
what, Harry?
your boys, the Cuomos are.
Oh, they in trouble. But listen, you know what, Harry? That's his brother. Pot. He's supposed to do that. I mean, he's suspended for it. But that, yes, well, it's your brother. You know, you're supposed to help your brother. I'm not saying he's right. I'm just saying I understand.
No, I would have helped my brother too. That's not, you know, that's not even. If anybody who says they wouldn't have helped,
are a liar.
Their sibling are lying. The problem is actually, he should have taken a leave of absence to help his brother.
Yeah, but you know, when you're in those moments, Harry, you're not thinking. You're just like, oh, let me do my job. Let me make a few phone calls. Let me find out. And do
the thing is that when he got busted the first time, he shouldn't have lied about it. So he lied about how deep he got into it. So now when these the Attorney General in New York, Letitia James, when she released the text and everything that, you know, that he was actually deeply involved in trying to, you know, get information and play the media. And so all of that came out yesterday, and that's why they had to suspend him, because he lied to them and he lied to the audience. So,
yeah, that's all right. People lie all the time. We had a whole president sitting in office lying every day of every second of every moment. So,
I mean,
and got impeached twice. So, I'm mad at this. Listen, he going to come back to CNN with his job. He going to come back. He got to sit out for a little bit. He got money in the bank. He ain't starving, you know. And he's not.
He has to come back.
It's not a job where he's not going to go to jail. And if he goes to jail, our justice system is crazy as hell. He ain't pick up a gun and go shoot people at a rally. He ain't do any of that. He helped his brother. Now, should he have done it? Hell no. But we all understand it because we got siblings who are in janky situations. Listen, family members helped me. I helped them. Whatever. It's a lot of things that we could get called to the mat for. So I'm not mad at him for helping his brother. He's supposed to do that. They was raised tight. He's gonna sit out. It ain't gonna hurt him. They not gonna be in nobody's bread line. They're not gonna be in nobody's soup kitchen. They're not gonna lose all nothing. He's gonna sit out for a little while till it die down and see if they could bring him back, because he's got a high rated show. People like him. He's easy on the eyes, you know.
The thing is that he knows he's not going to. This, by the way, both sides are calling for him to be fired, right?
People could call for you to be fired for anything.
But the thing is that they can't fire him. They already brought back Jeffrey Toobin. If you could bring back Jeffrey Toobin,
yeah,
you can't. Nobody could get fired at that place.
Wow.
You know, if you remember, Jeffrey Toobin was masturbating. Zoom with other female workers in the room. So,
yep.
And they brought him back. So if Jeffrey Toobin can come back, you know, everybody has that now in their back pocket. For any problems at CNN, they go, Jeffrey Toobin.
Listen.
Jeffrey Toobin. You can't get rid of me, Jeffrey Toobin.
Oh my God! I mean, you know, he in the end, he may lose his job. Who knows? Who knows?
I don't think he is. I mean, like you said, it's lying. I mean, what else do? I mean, you look at everybody who's anchoring late night or any of those things; they all lie. So it's just one more lie. Nobody's getting fired for lying. You have these media companies in court. You had MSNBC say that Rachel Maddow is not a truth teller. She's there to, you know, give her narrative. Fox News did the same thing with Tucker. They said,
Yeah, but she is a truth teller. I mean, you know what? She is a truth teller. She does tell the truth. She doesn't make up facts. She doesn't make, she doesn't make things up. I mean, everything.
Yeah, kind of. MSNBC says she does.
That's not what they said.
Look it up.
Nope. That's not what they said. So
that
woman
Rachel Maddow, really?
She didn't.
You want to defend Rachel Maddow, Babs? Come on.
I like Rachel Maddow. She's smarter than everybody at Fox. And wait, let me take that back. That's no heavy lift.
She lied so much.
You know, we had a whole white man sitting in the office lying to the whole country for 4 years.
Right now.
We had a president who had a wife, cheated on her with the girlfriend, and then cheated on the girlfriend with another chick. And then got a chick from Epstein, because Melania is from the Epstein troop. So we had a president who's lied from day one, who's been lying his whole life, lied to stay out of the army, lied just to keep black people out of his properties. Him and his father lied to. Oh my God! If we're gonna talk about liars, listen. Trump don't hold a candle to any. Nobody hold a candle to these liars. Donald Trump lied about the COVID coming in. Lied about that. He's just been a lie. Listen, ain't no president in the history of the world been impeached twice. None. So don't start that, because you know you don't want that smoke. Because you know how I feel about Donald Trump. I, like the other 150 people, think that this guy, this joke, this trick. You know, talking about military people like he served. Oh, bone spurs. Come on now. He's not even a good liar. He holds the most records of any private citizen in bankruptcy court. Look at Atlantic City. Look at his properties in Atlantic City. Look at his properties anywhere in the world. They are trash. He's trash. His whole family is trash. Come on now. That first lady, that woman put a whole dystopian Christmas in the White House. Are you kidding me? Get out of here. She wore a whole outfit that says, "I don't care, do you?" What? She the first lady.
You're sounding a little biased.
She brought her parents over here under questionable circumstances, under questionable visas.
Yeah. Really?
Don't talk to me about lying. Don't start that mess. Don't even start it. You know, and then Trump ain't even smart. He's not even well read. He sounds like he talks to people like he's in the third grade. Like, he's a grown man.
God forbid he was as smart as Biden.
And then the Wharton School of Business, like, don't tell people he went here. Don't. we like to erase him off our roster. That president was an embarrassment. An embarrassment to all of us who are smart, well read, well traveled, and well educated. He was an embarrassment. And that's why he lost.
Thank God we got Biden.
And that's why and don't forget Kamala Harris. There we go. We don't have Mike Pence. Mike Pence who can't be in meetings with women unless his wife is there. Come on now. Come on.
That's true. We got Biden and Harris.
Don't play that game.
Thank God.
That's right. Thank God is right. Thank God. At least we could go across the world and not be embarrassed.
Really?
We don't have to be ashamed of a blustering, foolish president who talks out of his neck, who makes up stuff. He makes up stuff. And, you know, these GOPs,
Biden says the truth.
They're too embarrassed to say it. They're like, well, we know they're half truths or no truths, or, you know, maybe they're alternative facts or whatever.
thank God we have a truth teller like Biden.
That's right. Say it again.
Say
it louder.
Say it again. That truth teller Biden. He said he actually drove trucks yesterday. Yeah, he said
Whatever. It's not like he lied about bone spurs.
And thank God we have children like Hunter Biden.
And Biden's kids actually served in the military.
Hunter Biden.
None of them dumb Trump kids served anywhere but themselves. I don't see none of them dumb Trump kids serving in the military. Oh, I know. They go to Africa and kill big game and then post them up on Facebook. You know, they got guns and they kill animals, elephants, tigers. Oh, yeah, that's what they do. Uh-huh. Stop
Thank God for Hunter Biden. Thank God for Hunter Biden.
That's all right. Listen, they serve. He ain't serve. You're sorry, stupid, lying president. And wait, you have people to the White House. You have winning teams to the White House, and you serve McDonald's. That is the jankiest, tired mess I've ever seen in my life. If I was those kids, I'd be like, wait, not even kids. I'm like, what is going? You got some of the finest chefs in the world working here, and you gonna lay out fast food? Come on now. But you know what? Sounds about right to me.
Come on, man.
I'm not going with that. Yeah. So no, you can't ever come on the show. You can't ever be on my show and talk about Democrats or anybody.
I could.
As long as
but it is your show.
As long as Trump served for 4 years. I don't even call that serving.
I could, but you know.
I can't even call that serving.
Lord have mercy.
All right, I gotta go. I was gonna have Dolores on tomorrow, but she can't do it. Dolores was gonna come on and talk a little bit about World AIDS Day, which is today.
We gotta have Planned Parenthood on one of these days.
Well, I had them on a bunch of times.
Just because of what's going on in the Supreme Court right now.
Yes, Harry, I serve on the board of Planned Parenthood, but I'm not going to have them on until we get down the road with it a little bit. You know, I know what I'm doing on my show. Trust me. I know how to get guests because that's what I do. But I'm not going to have them on until I'm ready to have them on. So I'm not ready to have them on just yet because there's a lot going on. There's a lot going on behind the scenes of Planned Parenthood and how they are handling this. So we're all just taking a collective breath at the moment. But I will have somebody on. I mean, they've been on all the time, lots and lots of times. So they'll be on. And we'll talk about what this means. But yeah, so we're just getting started with this fight. And not getting started. We've been in this fight for quite some time. But it's interesting to see what happens because Mississippi has one abortion clinic, healthcare clinic in its whole state. So we'll see what happens.
Well, they're trying to limit abortion.
It's a tough day it's a tough day for women anywhere when a woman somewhere can't get access to reproductive health care. So that's, you know.
I think they're trying to limit abortions to 15 weeks.
Oh, they're trying to do a lot of things. I mean, this is their playbook. This has been the playbook from the beginning. So the fact that we are back here, you know, 50 years later or 20 years later or however many years it's been since Roe v. Wade is quite challenging that women don't have the right to say what they need or want for their reproductive health. So, you know.
But why hasn't Congress passed a law in all that time?
The same reason why they can't pass a Voter Rights Act that does not have to keep being reauthorized. Same reason. Because you got people who are serving who don't give a damn about people of color, don't give a damn about women, don't give a damn about healthcare. All they give a damn about is what they give a damn about. So that's not even a question. Why? We already know why. There is a playbook. This has been a part of the Republican playbook from the beginning. So, you know, they're not for a woman's right to choose. They never have been. They might be a handful who are, but the majority of them have not. This is their playbook. This has been their playbook. They have played this long game and they believe they're going to win it. I doubt it because women of means are not going to be limited by lack of access. Women of means won't. Who will be limited will be poor women. And so the fight is to ensure that we all have the right to make decisions about our reproductive health, you know. So we know what the answer is. We just have to keep the fight strong and raise money. So there you go.
There you go.
I'm on my way out. I'll see y'all tomorrow. Go out there and participate in World AIDS Day. Wear your red ribbons. Still necessary. Bye, Harry.
wear something red. Wear something red.
I know y'all got ribbons in your ribbons somewhere, Harry, in your the desk drawer.
Oh, I got my red Trump hat. See you tomorrow, Babs.
That's not the same thing.
Wheels keep spinning, wheels keep spinning, wheels keep spinning.